Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome, everybody. It's Becky Brown, and I'm so happy that it's Friday. And Friday is such a great day to celebrate, and today we're going to have a Flashback Friday program, and you are not going to want to miss it. We got a classic show, and I'm not going to tell you till we get to the break, because you're just going to have to find out who's going to be our host. But who also is hosting today is Larry Sonnenberg. Larry's in the studio with me today, and we are so excited to share with you about a way that you can become a more generous person. And so, Larry, what would be a way that they could become a more generous person?
Well, it sounds contrary to logic, but you'll become more generous when you give. Your heart will change, things will change, your values will change. I heard a radio host years ago say, I decided when I was critical of a radio program that I listened to, I would make a gift to them. I'd make a donation, and all of a sudden, my criticism left, and I felt like I was part of their team. So I don't want you to be critical and make a gift. I want you to make a gift for two reasons. One, what we do makes a difference. We don't change people's lives, but God's Spirit works through what we do, and God be the glory for all the change of lives that happen because of the work that we set the stage for the Holy Spirit. But also, we have a matching gift. It started at $706,000, and it's down in the 500s. This is a recorded program, so I can't give you a late date update. But we are going to need more money before the month is end, and we meet this. So if you just inherited a whole bunch of money and you want to make a gift to New Life, that's great. If you just have $5 or $10 extra that you can give, that would be great. It will be doubled. And let me share with you real quickly a testimony from Susan. She said, I've been listening to New Life for at least 10 years, and it's been one of the greatest blessings of my life. My husband and I have been married 43 years and have 8 adult children. Through all those years I'd been listening to New Life, I questioned whether my husband had a sex addiction. Reluctantly, he confessed that he's had an addiction since high school, which he said consisted of frequently fantasizing and watching porn. The initial attraction to New Life was the religious affiliation, as I've always had a deep relationship with God. I've learned so much over the years from New Life and spent many afternoons in tears, not only for myself, but for all the callers who I could truly identify with. My advice given on the show is so flawless and compassionate. Although I may never have the opportunity to meet face-to-face with Stephen, the host, I feel I know them, and the sound of their voices is so familiar, truly authentic, and always comforting. As a member of Club New Life, I receive Steve's daily devotionals and cannot explain how those readings are so needed in my life right now. The respect I have for the work of this ministry is beyond words. Thank you from the bottom of my heart, and I pray God blesses all of you abundantly for your marvelous works. I've been so blessed from your ministry as I end this feeling the tears from my eyes well up. Love and blessings to everyone. Oh, man. Wow. That's what this radio program does, let alone the workshops and resources and everything else we do. And Becky, you're a big part of it, and thank you.
Oh, well, it's my privilege and my pleasure. New Life has changed my life as well. And, you know, we're going to keep going. We've been doing this for 34 years, and we want to keep going for 34 more years or more, because we know that people are going to need help. And we just want to encourage you, if you haven't participated in the match, do so now. Now, back to that Flashback Friday. You're going to hear from a show from so long ago. It was before Sherry was Dr. Sherry Keffer. It was Dr. Sherry Denham, Dr. John Townsend, and Steve Arterburn. I think that you're going to be encouraged as you hear this show, and I think that you're going to probably want to share it with somebody. And we're going to be back after the break with Flashback Friday.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live. This is Terry McIntosh, and before we get started with this Flashback Friday program with Steve, John, and Sherry, I want to take just a second to remind you that May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and your psychological well-being is an important part of your health. Millions of Americans are living with a mental illness or know someone who is, and New Life has many resources that will help you personally grow and better understand those living with mental health issues. All month, we're running a sale on a variety of books, CDs, and devotionals to help you, so be sure to visit newlife.com to shop the sale. Now let's get into this Flashback Friday.
All right, we're going to go to the phones, and I want to talk with Thomas from Sacramento, California. KFIA is the station. Hi, Thomas. Welcome to New Life. How you doing?
Hi, Steve. Pretty good. Thank you. Thank you for my call. Season's greetings. It's a great holiday to you all. I've been listening to your ministry for probably a little over 10 years off and on.
Thank you.
My question, sir, is, I put this in the most tactful, respectful way with regard to my immediate family as I can. What's a wise, kind of loving way that I keep on relating to a sister in our family that I didn't know about was in a lesbian lifestyle for almost like 10 years.
Uh-huh.
So our family got together at Christmas time out of San Francisco, and the morning we were all passed out a little last gift. She gives a paperback book to my mom called Different Daughters. I looked at both, and I looked at my sister, and thought, you mean to tell me all this time you've been in this kind of relationship? She's just like, well, I kind of thought you could just pick up on her. You thought you could kind of figure it, you know, kind of this, you know, read between the lines, whatever.
Okay, so what is your question about this?
You know.
Yeah, you were devastated. What's your question for us, though?
Well, what my question is, sir, a good way to keep on in communication with her, relating with her, just, I feel like sometimes I'm still kind of maybe processing that.
Yeah.
Kind of dealing with that hurt. I broke down and cried that morning.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And she was rightfully biblically married many years ago.
Yeah. You know, when I found out about my brother, it was quite a shock. I had no idea, and I didn't know about it until, I was in my 20s. So it is shocking. But the question for us would be, what's the question that you have? How could we help you with this?
What kind of... You may reckon I go get some, talk to her about getting her some counseling, or I get some counseling or something.
You may need some counseling, but I don't think your relationship with her should dramatically change. In fact, it's a great opportunity, now that you've found this out, to get into her life and ask her questions, mm-hmm. and how did she feel, and what happened, and how does she explain it, and not from a judgmental standpoint, but trying to get to know her, because you didn't know her.
Certainly.
When someone has a secret, Thomas, that they're keeping from the rest of the family, there's mm-hmm. a sense of relief that comes when they finally come clean. They finally just bring whatever it is that they've been keeping from the family to the family. And so at that point, you know, the family's kind of you know, some of them are dusting themselves off and thinking, what do I do? What, how do I change? How do I be with this person? And so you were asking us, what do I do? And it really is about continuing to love her, continuing to talk to her, continuing to call her.
Yeah.
And then dealing with your own anxiety over that, finding places where you can be real about that so that you don't go into hiding.
Right.
Because sometimes there's like secondary hiding, you know. It's like, where do I go that's safe enough to talk about it? And
I was felt like she was, maybe like an avoider, or I was just, I don't know. My brother and my mom were kind of, knew about it for a long time before I did.
You know what I would do then? I think I would go to my sister and say, you know, we come from the same family, and sis, have I done anything to make you not feel safe with me that you couldn't say this?
Uh-huh.
A lot of times a Christian will be known as, well, they have these rules and they judge and they condemn, and that's kind of all they're about. Mm-hmm. And if you say to her, is there some way I've approached you that you didn't feel safe to let me know? Because mm-hmm. I want that out of the way. I love you, and I want to know you better, and I want to change any kind of attitude that I can't connect with you. And that often opens up lots and lots of doors. She needs a brother who loves her and loves God and is not afraid and will not condemn. That's what she needs right now, and you could be that.
The goal is to be in her life and to matter, and for her to start to communicate, and you get to know her.
Yeah.
All right. I'm glad that you called us. I'm going to send you Healing as a Choice. Sometimes when our brothers, sisters get into things that we don't like, you need to grieve that loss, and there's a great section in there on grieving.
Loving People has a section, too.
Okay, we'll send that book, too. All right, why don't we talk with Madeline over here from Indianapolis, Indiana. WQME is the station. Hi, Madeline, how are you?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
I have a question. How can I learn to connect with people?
All right, let's start with why is it a problem for you to connect with people?
Well, I haven't figured out the why it's a problem. I just know I try to make friends and learn to connect with people, and I don't get reciprocated back.
How old are you?
Almost 40.
Let's look at two extremes. One, a person backs away at the sign of any kind of movement toward them. The other extreme, they flood people with themselves. They overwhelm people. Mm-hmm. They move too quickly toward people. Which end of that spectrum would you come closer to?
Probably tend to back away from people.
Really? Okay.
That speaks of hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, have you been hurt deeply in relationships before?
I would say yes, from trying to make relationships and not being reciprocated.
Yeah, so, I mean, when did that start happening?
I mean, I've never really had a friend or friends, but I would say, you know, in my adulthood, I was really started to try to learn how to connect and make friends and reach out.
Let's go a little deeper and earlier. What about family of origin?
What about them?
Well, Sherry was going the right direction, which was we learn our relational patterns from family of origin, mom, dad, siblings. So how was intimacy and connection in the family?
We had a pretty close family. We had good parents, good relational parents.
School friends, great school friends, no problem in school?
I didn't have any school friends, no.
Okay, now, see, there's a disconnect here. I've got a great family and I don't have school friends. See,
are you the only child?
No, I have two sisters.
Why did that break down for you? A loving family that teaches me how to connect should translate naturally and flow naturally into friends.
And they would notice that I don't have any friends.
And mom and dad would do something about that. So you hear the disconnect?
Yeah, and they would say, well, you know, how about we invite, you know, so-and-so over? And I'm like, okay, great. So then I asked so-and-so, and my parents are in the process of talking to so-and-so's parents. It's the only reason why so-and-so will come over. You know, so I feel like they did, you know, kind of their part to try to help make the friendships, but it didn't happen again naturally on its own.
Okay. Now I'm not asking this is not at all a negative question for you. I want you to hear this right. So between, let's say, 7 or 8 and almost 40, why have you not, like, done something about this and dug into it? This is a big deal.
Well, but I have tried. That's what I'm saying. I think the things I've tried haven't worked.
No. I didn't mean try to make friends. Try to go deeper into either why you turn people off or pick crazy people or shy away too soon. Have you dug into the parts that you play that keep you from having loving friends?
Okay, no. How would I do that?
Well, people see a counselor, therapist. They go to relationship coaches. They go to seminars. They read books. They, you know, anything like that?
Okay. Yeah, I've gone to seminars, read books, done a little bit of counseling. Money's kind of gotten in the way of a lot
sure.
of that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what do you think? Somebody at 40, it's exciting that you're mm-hmm. trying to fix it
yeah.
at 40. It's possible to fix it.
It's just there's something that's missing, Madeline. And we're sitting here with you.
We're in a quandary.
And there's just something that's missing. And it feels like a pretty big piece. Why would someone feel so frightened of relationships so early in her life? Why would she have a trouble connecting?
Are you asking me?
Yeah. I mean, we're going there.
Because life makes sense.
Yeah, and there's just something that's missing. And so, because you've taken an avoidant posture, you're living life avoidantly. You're living life kind of isolated. And I get the books and I get the seminars, but books and seminars don't equal people. Really, you are going to have to heal in relationship. We do not heal in isolation. It's that important that you get it. You're going to heal in connection with another human being. It's going to take that investment.
I get that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. Is there anything that you can think of that would lead you down a path of avoiding relationship?
Well, I think, kind of back to what Dr. Denham just said, really up until probably, I don't know, mid-20s or so, I didn't really realize that, well, everybody... friends. Everybody has connections except for me. So then that's kind of when I started taking the journey of trying to figure out the why.
Yeah.
And I've taken some pretty, in my opinion, bold steps to try to make some friends, and I've gotten ridiculed and hurt deeply.
What have your friends
said?
So can
I heal from that and then try to continue?
What have your friends said? What feedback have they given you? Have you asked them?
We don't want you around.
Oh. Ouch.
That's horrible. Now, yeah. did you ask why?
No, I really didn't.
Well, tell us why they wouldn't want you around.
I mean, basically what they said is we don't want you around. You're not the kind of person we want around us.
Okay, so what kind of person are they talking about?
Well, and in that context, it was a small group of people. So it was like a small group church kind of thing. And I was asking growth kind of questions, you know, to grow my walk with God. And they said, we don't want you around if you're going to be asking those kind of questions.
What kind of questions were they?
Just, you know, how do I, you know, I don't even remember specifically, but, you know, how do I continue on my walk with God? And what does that passage really mean? Those kind of questions.
Which are really normal questions.
Right.
I mean, Madeline, those are really honest questions, and maybe you just happened to get into a group of people that were kind of very short-sighted. Sometimes, and I say this, and I want you to hear me as I say it, sometimes in Bible studies, we get so focused in on what we're learning that we forget the connection and the relationships that happened. And sometimes Bible studies, that's what it's about. It's about learning. But it may not be so much about building relationships. So you really need to be in a group that's about building relationships.
Yeah, and here's my hunch. You came from a close family that maybe was slightly enmeshed, and so they didn't teach you the rules of relating outside the family, and you're kind of innocent, and you don't know when you trigger people or if you say something weird. You just don't know. You're innocent. And I would see a really good therapist and say, I want to do the kind of therapy where you give me feedback on how I'm coming across to you. You be the mirror. Am I coming across too honest? Am I coming across too weak? Am I coming across too closed up? You be the one who's safe and won't hate me and will love me and give me relational feedback, because I didn't get that the first time around, and it's the best feedback in the world.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice. The first choice in there is connection, and it talks about how do we have it, build it, deepen it. I think that it'll be a blessing.
You got to see it and experience
right.
it.
Yeah. We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Oh, we are back. Steve Arterburn here, and we've got a lot of resources for you. You can find those at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Healing is a Choice was mentioned, and loving people, so many things. Go check it out online at newlife.com. All right, I want to talk over here with Olivia from Indianapolis, Indiana, WQME, having two calls from Indianapolis right in a row. How you doing?
Trying to do better.
Okay, Olivia, what's happening?
I looks like we are facing a divorce right now. I've been married to my husband for 5 years.
You've been married five years.
And, well, my question for you is this today. I even wrote it down because I don't want to forget. It's do I give up on this or try even harder to help my husband when I don't have the strength to do it anymore?
Well, what's your husband need help with?
Well, last night, he confirmed that he was having an affair. We've been going to counseling for, 5 months. And we've been trying to work out our, different problems. But at the same time, I don't understand why he does this kind of thing instead of trying harder for this to work.
All right. How did he confirm that he was having the affair?
The woman told us last night
The counselor told you?
No.
Oh.
The woman's having the affair with.
Yes.
Well, tell us about this. She came to your door. You were at dinner. What happened?
Well, she used to work for him and. She started working for him around March this year, and everything started changing, between the two.
Well, tell us what happened last night, though.
I don't know what happened between the two of them, but she started calling him, and then she started texting me as well. Really bad messages to really, really strange. And then she started making some threats to him to, if you don't pay me my money, I will tell your wife that this happens, And he was just really nervous, and I told him, well, you don't end with this, because what these ladies trying to do is extort you, And
I get it. All right, so what is the question for us then that you have?
Well, it's do I give up or continue to try it harder? As I say, we've been going to a counseling.
What does he say? Does your husband want to stay married to you?
He says that, but he doesn't act like it.
Hold just a second here. Has he given up the woman?
Looks like it. He just doesn't say anything. He's just there.
Has he told you I've ended the affair, or has he said I'm not, or what has he said in his words?
He says that he was emotionally attached to this girl, and
is he telling you it's over? Is he telling you it's over?
Well, he didn't say that. He just doesn't say anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But he hasn't been saying anything for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been dishonest with you for a number of months.
Yeah. for years, actually.
Well, most of the time in situations like this, if you roll over and play dead, it makes the situation worse. If you know, if you walk over to him and say, "Okay, I forgive you, let's keep going," it kind of exacerbates the problem. But I think you should move toward, you should be separated immediately. I think you should move toward, you know, doing the process of divorce, hoping that something you're going to do is going to wake him up, that he's going to get some help, and that he'll want the marriage to continue. So I'm hoping this won't end in divorce, but it's less likely to do that if you will stand up and fight for your marriage. But you do it in kind of the paradoxical way of acting and doing the things that people do when somebody's unfaithful.
Olivia, you need to really get some courage right now and get some people around you to help you make a bold stand with him and start asking him some hard questions. A lot of times when women find out that their husband's in an affair, they haven't been asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
Their voice has been quieted. And even now, it's like you're like, well, I think he has. And I'm going, Olivia, you need to go boldly into that. Do not hesitate. You need to say, when did you stop seeing her? When was the last time? Are you serious? I've been in counseling with you for 5 months. Are you serious about moving forward? Our marriage is at risk. We are in the process of a divorce. I mean, those type of questions,
yeah,
they're real and they're bold, but that is part of the wake-up call.
Yeah, and the other part, Olivia, is that you are, I mean, I can hear it in your voice, you're sort of at the end of your rope. And so you need people to help to build that courage that Sherry's talking about in you. You can't do this by yourself, so you need to get a support system. And if he's a guy that's like a lot of guys, he needs a path. And I want you to work out with your support system and your therapist a path for what it will take to get you back. Sam, here's the requirements. Stop seeing her immediately. I will change whatever I need to change. I need to have access to texts, to credit card stuff, to your phone. We will have to be separate until I've shown that you've shown that you're a man of integrity. A man needs a path and requirements to know that he can be redeemed. You have to provide that for him.
All right, I'm glad that you called.
We'll send Who's Pushing Your Buttons.
All right, Who's Pushing Your Buttons coming your way. Anybody else wanting that resource, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back right after this very brief message.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back. Steve Arterburn here. And coming up, Every Man's Battle Workshop in Nashville, Tennessee, January the 21st. And also, don't forget, the Lose It for Life Workshop, January the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th. Oh, it's going
to
be fun.
What a great way to start your 2011 off.
Right. That's right. And we're going to talk about this new food plan, Weight Loss by the Hundreds. And it's a very unique way to lose weight, not losing hundreds of pounds, although maybe you could, but it's using things in increments of 100. You'll like it, I promise you. Let's go to, we talked with Olivia, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's talk with Deb from Buffalo, New York. Listens on the internet. Hi, Deb.
Hey, y'all.
Y'all from New York?
Yeah, that is the weirdest thing.
What is that all about
y'all
there, Deb?
From New York.
You're a transplant, Deb.
Well, I am. I actually grew up in this region, but lived in the South for a number of years.
There you go.
Okay, here's the deal. My question boils down to this. I wonder what the best way to approach slash confront and promote restoration of a church deacon who happens to be a friend who has evidenced connection with internet pornography. This just became apparent to me yesterday.
You're the only one that knows?
I don't know. I'm the only one that I know that knows.
How do you know?
I shared it with... Well, because actually this individual is my employer, and on my lunch hour, I had asked if I could get on the internet and check my email, and when I did the drop-down list, it showed sites that were cause for concern on my part, and then I did like a history check, and back to Saturday. And that individual was the only male that was there on Saturday, and these are likely sites that a male would attend.
Wow.
And actually today I wanted to get on for a brief shining moment to check something and, ask permission. And I'd previously been told I don't even need to ask. You know, that's perfectly fine, but I still felt the need. And he said, well, you can use this computer, you know, while so-and-so's not here. And I don't know what that was all about, so I used the computer and did my little thing. Anyway, it's very evident, by all appearances, that this person has been on these sites. And I actually did a history check, not just to determine, like, the last date these sites were visited, but I did a history check of the most frequent.
Are you concerned that you might lose your job, Deb?
No. No.
Because?
No.
Okay. And are you married?
No, I'm not.
Not married.
I'm a 53-year-old woman who has never been married.
Why aren't you concerned that he would, I'm trying to understand it. Why aren't you concerned he would backlash and fire you or something if you confronted him?
Well, no, I'm not concerned about that. I'm just wondering.
No, I'm sorry.
We're asking why aren't you concerned about that? What is your situation that you don't have to worry about?
Part-time employment. I'm actually just there to serve him while he's short-handed. So it's not an income on which I rely.
Okay. So
my concern is I'm thinking, should I employ the Matthew 18 thing and approach him directly? But I'm wondering also, in a situation such as this, I mean, I'm perfectly willing to do that, you know, with trepidation, but I would do it. But I'm also wondering about a female approaching a male.
Right. Well, I would not do it alone.
Right.
I wouldn't do it alone. I would have somebody with me, and, you know, I just wonder. I mean, it seems like because of the situation, you have to skip one step. In the Matthew.
Yeah, you've got a church hat and you got a work hat at the same time.
Right. So,
but you work in the church.
Maybe you go
to
the...
No, I don't think he works...
He's a deacon.
But that doesn't mean he's an employee of the church.
He's not an employee. He's
not
just
an
a deacon.
But why
don't you go to the chairman of the deacon board and say, I have information about one of your deacons that are deeply involved in pornography.
What about going to the pastor? I don't know that... This is a church I've been involved with for about a year, and I'm not deeply embedded with that particular church. If there's not a chairman of the deacon board, should I go directly to the pastor?
What do you think, John?
Well, I'm playing both scenarios. It's a tough one, Deb, because, I mean, the direct route is you go to him and say, I saw this, and if you'll take care of this, that'd be great. But, you know, I'm concerned for you and for your leadership, so somehow I need to know you're going to do something about this. So he can't, like, blow it off and go, well, don't bother, don't look on the computer anymore. If you go by yourself, then you've got no, it's the direct route, but you've got no follow-up. And then the negative on the other side is you bring someone in, and he can say, well, why didn't you just go to me directly? Why did you have to bring this other person in and humiliate me?
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's safe for her to confront him alone.
I don't either.
Yeah, I'm feeling the same
thing. I think we're all landing in the same place, Deb, is get somebody in your church that's trustworthy, that's in some leadership position, make sure that person's for him, and just say, this is a big deal, and we don't want to, you know, condemn you, but this is a big problem for a leader.
So what if she went to the head of the deacon board, right? And then they went to the pastor and, you know, or confronted him directly. I mean, eventually it's going to get to the pastor.
Sure. There's nothing wrong with that.
You know.
It's just that at some point he's got to show, if he's going to, you know, change and repent and heal and all that,
right,
he's got to have a way to do that.
Right.
So
right.
One way to do that is come to the Every Man's Battle
Workshop. I'm a little confused about the direct approach, you know, the Matthew 18 employment, but no follow-up. I'm not clear on what y'all mean by that.
Well, the whole reason the Bible tells us to confront is not just to say you're doing something wrong, but to say there's a path. You know, you've got to get some help and get some support and get some information and find out what the drivers are. And so there's got to be a follow-up besides your confrontation, that somebody knows that he just won't stay in darkness and all by himself.
Because he might say, I'm over it.
I'm
done.
Over it.
That wasn't me. I wasn't using the computer. I mean, there's going to have to be things that are going to be unpacked with him. Yeah. So it's going to take others to do that.
Okay. I hope that's helpful.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you've got a way to go now?
Well, with the way, you know, again, I'm not sure if there's a chairman of the deacon board.
If you don't have the chairman, then just go to the pastor.
Okay.
A safe leader who will be direct and engage him in follow-up and won't condemn him.
So it's not to slap his hand. It's to get him some help.
Get him in
because
help.
He is stuck. And what a horrible existence when you're leading these two lives.
Well, yeah, and a lot of times with the sexual addiction, there's this sense of high that comes from risk-taking behavior. So as a deacon, how risky would it be to actually sexually act out in the church, on the church computer? I mean, there's a high to that. So it's really a cry for help. It's a man who does need to have someone come along and help him.
All right. Let's go to Mark from Laguna Hills, California. KKLA is the station. Hello, Mark. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Quite well.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
Well, kind of going through a hard time right now in my life. I'm an only child with no father, and I just watched my mother pass away.
Oh, sorry about that.
Well, that's kind
of tough. It was absolutely horrible. She died of septic shock in a nursing home. And there's no reason. She was only 65 years old, and there's no reason that she should be gone right now.
Mm.
And the problem that I'm really having is, you know, my whole life I grew up around Jehovah Witnesses, and her sister is, like I said, I have no family except her sister, and she's a Jehovah Witness, and she's trying to hold, you know, the money that my mom had put in place for me because I want a barrier. And they want to cremate her. And it's just been really, really hard, you know. I just have one friend that's been really supportive, which I'm in recovery, and she is too. And
how long ago did she die?
November 10th at 7:30 in the morning, I had to take her off of life support. Mm.
And did you bury her or cremate her?
Well, the sheriff coroner has her body, and they won't release it yet because they're doing an investigation on the...
because of where it happened and how
possibility
it happened.
Possibility of malpractice.
Yes.
Okay.
Can we help you more with how do I get her to be buried, or can we help you more with how do I live life without my mom?
Exactly. You know, either way, either or, I'm so stuck in...
Okay.
You know, it's just like it hits me every day, you know, and it's just really hard right now in my life.
Yeah, and you've got to get some closure.
Yeah,
on
there's
this.
A lot of loss here.
Okay, we'll take a break and come back right after this. You're listening to New Life Live. You know, we need your support. We need your help. And if you can do that, would you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE? It allows us to stay on the air and provide maybe the only counseling that some people will ever get because they don't have a counselor, they don't have the resources, but maybe you do and you could help them. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com.
find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back, and we want to help this fine gentleman. His name is Mark, and his mother, he's in limbo here, and the sister wants to cremate her. He wants to bury her, and the coroner has her body. That's a tough place to be.
Mark?
Yes?
We feel for your loss. It's devastating. And like Steve said, you can't get closure. So there's a couple of things that you need to think about. One is you have long-term, you're going to have to kind of get what the Bible calls a new life, where there's a life away from your mom. It's going to be very difficult because you've been very close to her. But there are going to be new friends, new activities, new passions, new missions. You're going to have to move into that. The Bible calls that leaving and cleaving, and that's going to happen. But right now, you've got to put some kind of structure on this crazy sister coroner thing so that you can live with it. And what a lot of people do is they call it healthy compartmentalizing. When I've got a situation that won't go away that I can't check off my to-do list, I put it in a compartment in my brain and I go, it's going to be ongoing. It might be weeks or months, but I'll put it there and I'll know I've done everything I can do in the healthy compartment. I'm not in denial. I know those things are there, but I don't put energy into it. I just go step by step there. And then I fill my life, the rest of my life that's not in that compartment, with really, really good things. It's the only way people who have a lingering kind of a problem that's going to get legal and messy can deal with that. So I want you to basically make a list of the task and steps you've got to deal with your sister and with the coroner, and having done that, then you move out of that and say, I've done all I can do for today, and get involved in the life after mom process.
Hmm.
And I also heard from you, Mark, that you said, I've got one friend that's really understands me, gets me. I'm in recovery, they're in recovery. And so a part of me definitely would say you need to find a grief group and start going right now. To get into a community of people that are dealing with the fresh loss, you're going to have compassion and understanding and connection from that group of people like you're not going to get any place else.
And I would be going to the coroner saying, okay, time's up. I've got to deal with this. I've got to put an end to this, and let's do it and get on with my life here. You've got to do it. So,
well, it's kind of tough because they're doing biopsies and they're doing all these different.
Well, she's. Tests. I mean, it's 20 days or more later, you're entitled.
I know it's difficult. Believe me, I'm going through it every day. I want to thank the Lord, Jesus, because I believe when I was holding her hand and she took her last breath, that I imagine it was, standing there with his arms.
You can be happy that you were a good son into the end, and a good mom would say, I don't want you spending all of your brain power on this process. Spend part of it, but go out and get the healing and help in life you need.
All right. We've got time for one more call, and that's going to be Sally from Mountville, Pennsylvania. Don't have a lot of time, but I did want to get to your call.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
What's the question?
Question is that I've been married for 38 years.
Mm-hmm.
And on October 18th, I found an email in my husband's email, and he was having a... an emotional intimacy with a girl.
Oh, dear.
And I confronted him with the email. I confronted her with the email.
What was his reaction?
He was a friend of mine, too.
Oh, she's a friend. What was his reaction?
His reaction was remorse. I saw it in him. I'm married to him for 38 years.
Yeah.
I saw his remorse. Wow. He didn't know why he wrote all those things about me. He was troubled. For 10 years, I've had bipolar, and I've been on medication.
Okay.
I've been over-medicated.
Did he say he was going to get some help of any kind?
He did, and he did get help. And our marriage is resolving. We're working on it.
Right.
It's been really good for the last 2 months.
Okay.
And
what's the question for us? What's your question?
I'm having a problem with right now.
Yeah.
is trusting him again.
Well, there hasn't been enough time to go by for you to trust him. It's good that you don't trust him yet. He needs to earn that trust.
Right.
And that's tough to be married to somebody you don't trust, but you shouldn't trust him.
Yeah, and the problem is in trusting him is that when I married him 38 years ago, I told him that he was the only man that I ever trusted because I was sexually abused.
Mm. Yeah, it's hard what you're going through. It's hard.
When he said he loved me, that was how I trusted him.
But 38 years ago is not today.
Right.
And so we've got to look at today, and you've got to get over a really, really bad hurt. Anything you want to add?
Yeah, to? Sally, trust issues, a lot of times people think of them like a light switch. I either trust you or I don't. And especially kids who have been through abuse, they trust right. fully, and then it's totally betrayed, and they're devastated. And I would rather you not look at it as a light switch. I would rather you look like it as a dimmer.
Okay.
All right? So he's been good for 2 months, so he gets a little movement on that dimmer.
Yes.
But you've got a long ways to go. And then over time, you find out that you can check emails and you can check text messages and you can check phone calls and all that. And he's a trustworthy man. And the dimmer comes up higher and higher and higher.
Right.
So then you're in control, because the worst thing a person with trust issues can do is to trust someone too quickly and then be devastated again. So as he earns it, he gets more of the dimmer switch. And as he earns it, he gets more of the dimmer switch. When a guy's had an emotional affair, it's at least a year. At least a year before you can fully trust again, probably more.
Okay.
And then I'm hearing something, Sally, that you had mentioned two things. One, that you've got bipolar and that you've been over-medicated.
Right.
So you've got trauma from the past. You've been sexually abused twice by two different men.
Right.
That speaks to me of the fact that the trauma still has not been worked out. Mm. You need to do some more work in the area of trauma to get some headway on the healing. That's why this email has kind of thrown you upside down even more so, because it's layered on top of those early traumas with those other men. So you've got to get some healing for your heart and for your brain, and do some specific trauma work with someone who's specializes, a therapist that specializes in that.
Right.
Okay. I hope something we've said is helpful. I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice. It will help you deal with this very specific issue. And so sorry that this has happened. John?
Where is God deals with that kind of stuff, too.
All right. John's got a book called Where is God? And, you know, Where is God is one of my biggest regrets in life.
Why?
Well, because the cover is you in Antarctica. You took the picture, and I didn't go, and you asked me to go, and I wish I had.
It's funny you say that, because my biggest regret is that you didn't go with me.
Yeah, right. Okay.
We would have had so much fun.
Truthfully, we are listener-supported, and every one of us that does this program supports this program. We believe in the things that New Life does, transforming lives, helping people connect in new ways, all based on the true truth, God's truth. And if you want to help us be here, please consider giving a gift of some kind. You can join Club New Life, but please consider a one-time gift for Club New Life. It makes a difference. Sometimes people can't afford counseling. Sometimes there's no counselor in their area. And sometimes people just need to see that there is hope in what they're doing. And so that's what we're trying to do, is provide some healing and some hope. And if you want to come alongside someone, if you think God is leading you, I hope that you will respond to him and call us right now. Pick up the phone, call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you can actually do it at newlife.com. And thanks to all of you who do support us. It makes a difference. We love you, we care about you, and we're going to see you next time right here on New Life Live. Take care.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live.
Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.